It's going live in soon.
Blog Talk Radio.
Come on, everybody, put your hands together. It's got to get better. All over the world, listen to these words. People come.
People go.
People
go.
Your life has been.
Your life has been.
Out of control.
Out of control.
You're confused.
You're confused.
But don't worry.
Don't worry. Your song, it will get better.
It's got to get
better. It will get better.
It's gonna be
better. It will get better.
Cause
God is
in control, y'all. Hey. Thank you, Lord. Hey.
Find the praise
within your heart.
Hallelujah. The song said it got to get better. It got to get better. Hey. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. It is a beautiful day. It is a beautiful day. And we will rejoice and be glad in this day that the Lord has made for us. Amen. I am your host, Pastor Keeping It Real McNeil. I am the host with the most, giving all thanks to the Holy Ghost. Amen. Glory to God. We're going to start this Fix It 6 off this evening with a word of prayer. Amen. A word of encouragement. Amen. And a word of love unto the Father. Amen. Glory to his name. Father God, we come to you being thankful. We come to you being prayerful. We come to you, Father, because you are our source. You are our way. You are our truth, and you are our light. You are our comforter, God, and we give you all praise and honor on this day. Father, we're going to send a special prayer out, Father, to all those who don't know you, Father, all those who are willing to know you, God, all the suffering souls, God, all those that are in a dark place, God, all those that are in a place of surrender, God, all those that's ready to retreat, all those that are thinking about suicide. We ask you to move mightily on their mind as well as their heart, Father. Come, Holy Ghost, and blow in the atmosphere, Father. Touch your people, Father, from the top to the bottom, from the government to the maintenance man. God, we just give you praise and we just give you honor, Father, because we know that you're going to make a mighty move. We know that you're the way, the truth, and the light, God. We know that you are the Alpha and the Omega, God. We know that you are the great I am. So we put today our trust in you. We put our praise into you. We put our worship into you. And we know that, God, we can do all things through Christ who strengthens us. And, Father, because you are our strength and our rock, we say glory to your name. In Jesus' name we have prayed. Amen. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Glory to God. I like to give thanks to the First Lady, amen, who's always on time. I'm not saying she's God, but she's always on time. Amen. Glory to God. She's so helpful and just so supportive. I'm ready to just turn the whole studio over to her, sign it all over to her, and just let her have free reign with it. Just let her do what she do, because the anointing is on her to do so many things, and she is wearing so many hats on the air, on in the church, at home. I mean, she's just doing so much, and she's doing an awesome job in all that she does. Amen. So I just want to give a shout out to her to let her know that she's appreciated, and her work is not going unnoticed, and she will be rewarded from the kingdom. Amen. Because there's no reward like God's rewards. Amen. Glory to your name. Hallelujah. The first thing I want to talk about is, I call it rule one. And I know there's a lot of stuff that's going on, and we're getting away from the Father. We're getting away from trusting God. We're getting away. And what I mean by getting away, we're putting our trust in money. We're putting our trust in people, and we're putting our trust in other things. We're calling a psychic reader. We're rubbing Buddha's stomach. We're chanting. We're just doing everything but going to the source. Amen. And we're going to talk about the Israelites, amen, who was God's chosen people, amen. And we're going to talk about a few things, especially the commandments. I'm not going to jump all over the place because everything is going to line up. But if you have your Bibles, prayerfully you do, amen, please go with me to the book of Deuteronomy. We're going to go to chapter 12. We're going to start at verse 1, and we're going to read down to verse 8, amen. Hallelujah, hallelujah. The studio is feeling so beautiful. Oh my God, I just feel the presence. This is just a place of, oh my God, it's just a place of presence, Holy Ghost presence. It's just, it's something to be in the presence of God. When you know you're in the presence of God, there's no fear, there's no doubt, there's just like so much confidence, and like, it's like you can take on the world. Like you're just being pushed into a place where you call that place where you go. And you know God can meet you there. We all need a place like that. I don't care where it's at, what room, what part of the house, if it's your car, if it's your garage, if it's your shed. I don't care. Get you a place where God can meet you right there. Amen. These are the statutes and judgments which ye shall observe to do in the land which the Lord God of thy fathers giveth to thee to possess. To possess it all the day that ye live upon the earth. Ye shall utterly destroy all the places wherein the nations which ye shall possess served their gods, upon the high mountains and upon the hill, the high hills, and under every green tree. And ye shall overthrow their altars and break their pillars and burn their groves with fire. And ye shall hew down the graven images of their gods, and destroy the names of them out of that place. You shall not do so unto the Lord your God, but unto the place which the Lord your God shall choose out of all your tribes to put his name there, even unto his habitation shall ye seek, and hither thou shalt come. And hither ye shall bring your burnt offerings and your sacrifices and your tithes and heave offerings of your hand, which means, you know, do some things. You're willing body. You don't always have to bring things if you don't got things. Come to help, paint, do something. Lord, how can I be used? Pastor, how can you use me today? Minister, how can you use me today? Amen. Hand and your vows and your freewill offerings and the firstlings of your herd and of your flock. And there ye shall eat before the Lord your God, and ye shall rejoice in all that ye put your hands to, ye and your household, wherein the Lord thy God has blessed thee. And when I got to that part, that's the part I really wanted to focus on. Amen. Glory to God. It says, verse 7, and there ye shall eat before the Lord your God. And ye shall what? Rejoice in all that ye put your hands to. It's still a work to be done. Rejoice in everything that you put. If you was a designer, if you was an architect, whatever you're putting your hands to, rejoice and trust and believe that God is going to anoint it, it's going to prosper, it's going to manifest great things. Amen. All that ye put your hands to, unto ye and your household, everyone come together. Fellowship one with another, hold hands. Let's pray. Let's be on one accord. God has set us in this place and at this time together for a reason. There's a time to come. Listen, there will be no lack when we come together in the presence of the Almighty God. Whatever we come touch and agree with, and it's lined up with God's will for our life, it shall prosper. It should manifest. We won't be, it shouldn't be a worry in the house. It should be a rejoicing, knowing that if we come together and put our hands to a thing, put our minds to a thing, to do a thing in God's name and in his presence, and we're trusting and believing that he's going to work it out for us, there should be a rejoicing in your home and not a sadness. There should be a rejoicing in your home and not anger. There should be a rejoicing in your home and not argumentative. We should be rejoicing, amen, wherein the Lord God has blessed thee, amen. It's in our household wherein the Lord hath blessed thee. Oh, my God. In the household, we're all stuck somewhere with somebody. We're all, if you got a mansion, if you got an apartment, you got a condo, you got a room, you got an efficiency, whatever it is, it becomes your home. But you have to rejoice. And if you're not seeking God early, and if you're not spending time with God, and if you're not reading, and if you're not ministering to your spirit, if you're not asking God for something going in the presence of God, somebody, listen, how can we rejoice if we're already sad? We wake up sad. We go to bed sad. We go to bed complaining. When is this going to be over? Take the time that God has put you in a place and rejoice and say, Lord, this is the time that you have given me. Show me how to manifest these hands into something that will glorify the kingdom of God. Amen. Because the rule one, the first rule in all this, is to worship God. Because all the laws and the commandments are based on that one thing. The key to following God is in worshiping him correctly. And the same emphasis that we're going to go to the book of Exodus in a few seconds, chapter 20, we're going to go and we're going to find out what the Bible is saying about that, right? Because life isn't about keeping commandments, it's about loving. And we're going to go to the book of Deuteronomy and we're going to talk about that. But it's about loving and worshiping God. Amen. We can't fall into a trap of reducing our Christian life to start following a different set of rules. If we do, we'll be missing out on having a relationship with God. If we start worshiping money and start worshiping clothes and start worshiping our car and start all these things, nothing should be more important right now than spending time with God. God has made it where we don't have no excuses. Yeah, you won't need that balance, but God has put us in a place and put us in a place at such a time as this to worship him, to praise him, to come before him with open arms, with a sincere heart. You ain't got to try to fake God out. The heart should be sincere. Father God, okay, I'm not comfortable like this. I'm tired of being in his house, but because I'm here, I have time to spend with you. So I'm going to take this time to seek you out on a daily basis, not just to seek you out, but to worship you. And I'm going to praise you, and I'm going to worship you, and I'm going to trust and believe that in this time of darkness, I am a light. And I'm going to worship you until that light shine. Amen. Hallelujah. Because we got to remember, the Israelites was God's chosen people. Remember? And in Deuteronomy, God reminded his chosen people that he still loved them. Even after they many difficult times and they many years of rebellion and suffering, the Israelites, their lives has been so defined by difficulty, 40 years? Their life was defined by difficulties for 40 years. We just been uncomfortable for a few months. Their life has been, the definition of their life was difficulty for 40 years. We only been uncomfortable for a few months. And some of us haven't been uncomfortable. We took this time to rejoice. We took this time to spend with one another. We took this time to pray with one another. We took this time to get closer to God. You know, because sometimes you drift off. If you didn't, amen, glory to God. And sometimes we just, we just get out of order, out of place. But God has put us back because he's trying to unify all his people again, to show the world that I'm in charge. I make things happen. I fix the broken things. I break the things that I want broken. I am the original chief and commander. Nothing is going to happen if God doesn't allow it. If you're in a place and seeking God's face, he'll start revealing to you, don't worry about that. I'm in control of that. Don't worry about what's going on in Florida. Don't worry about what's going on in Texas. And if you're in Florida, he'll tell you, listen, it won't come near you. It's going to fall to your left. It's going to fall to the right. It ain't going to come near you. You know what I mean? Because these are the things that God does for his people. He not only do he preserve us and protect us, but he show his love for us on a daily basis. We just got to seek him out and start giving him the worship that he deserves. Not just a good morning, hallelujah. How you doing, Jesus? Can I get grits? I know I'm short. You think you can send somebody away with a blessing and so I can get this? No, Lord, I've come to worship you this morning. I don't know what's going to happen. I really don't care. But if I worship you sincerely, I know you'll know that I'm yours. And I trust and believe in you or no one else. Amen. I'm not putting First Lady before God. I'm not putting my grandchildren before God. I'm not putting my boss. I'm not putting my money. I'm not putting my clothes. I'm not putting my house. Nothing is before God in my life. Amen. Hallelujah. And we got to get to that place. They suffered for 40 years. And sometimes when we walk in a dark wilderness of suffering, we forget what we learned in the light before life was hard. Now, you remember, listen to what I'm saying. When we walk in a dark wilderness, because we will have to do that. We talked about that last week. We have to suffer. Amen. But when we walk in a dark wilderness of suffering, we forget what we learned in the light before life got hard. So when you're stoop and you're sad and you're going through all these things, you forgot the things that you learned when you was in the presence of God. The light is the presence and the anointing and the glory and the, I don't say magic, and that place where you know God is there. We forgot the stuff that we learned. We forgot to go back to the scripture. We forgot our praise song. We forgot how to worship God. We forgot how to praise God. We forgot because we're too busy focusing on the COVID-19. Oh, they ain't got a cure. I got to wear a mask. Oh, it's too hot. We're just so all these other places, and we're not giving our energy and our time to the King like we're supposed to, because he is the source and the answer to all our problems. Amen. So we forgot what we learned in the light before life got hard. Whether we have lived with suffering for a long time or only for a brief season. Now, we don't know how long that season is, but a brief season is enough. We need to remember the goodness and promises of God. Amen. Our Heavenly Father so loved his children, what? That he often reminds us of the blessings we have through him. Understand that? It's easy to understand how the Israelites might have questioned God's goodness after so many years of hardship. But what part did they play in the hardship? Was it disobedience? Was it always arguing and mumbling and grumbling? What part do we play in the suffering? What part do we play in the uncomfortability? What part do we play in our lack? What part do we play in our anger and all those things that we keep saying, God, why me? What part do we play in them? Amen. Hallelujah. Okay. Their parents and their grandparents. Amen. They were slaves in Egypt when God chose to deliver them from bondage, right? With mighty signs and wonders, he dramatically rescued them, like he rescued some of us from our bondage. Not only did he rescue them, but he rescued them from Pharaoh's army, and he provided for their every need. Like when he brought us out of our own bondage, and whoever was chasing us, or whatever was chasing us, or whatever was our monkey on our back, you can say, or whatever was our demon, or whatever was our chains, amen, he brought us through. He brought us through. He provided for us our every need. But time and time again, guess what the Israelites did? They demonstrated that they were what? That they were taking his gracious provision for granted. And I said that to say, how many times have we took God's grace, his mercy, his favor, his love, his joy, his son's blood, his son interceding for us? How many times have we took that for granted? How many times did we say, oh, I got one more run in me. Oh, he ain't going to do nothing. He loves me. The Bible said God understands my heart. He knew this before I even did it. Listen, stop trying to manipulate and stop trying to play games with the Lord. Yeah, he knew you were going to say that too. Amen? We got to get to that understanding that God is the most awesomest. He is the only and the best resource. We can go to him for anything. There's no problem too big or too small that God can't fix. There's nothing that you are going through that you can't find in the word of God. There are pastors and apostles and prophets all around the world. Link up to a Bible-teaching church, a God-fearing somebody, and get back into the fellowship. We done got out of the fellowship with the Christians, with each other. We headed closer to the world. We done, listen, we know, okay, the buildings are closed, but we still got God in our heart. They zooming all over the world about everything else. How many times we done got together and zoomed? Somebody can sing a song, somebody can read a scripture, somebody can make the announcement, and somebody can get a word. Amen. Glory to God. It's right there. I ain't got to see you to do God's work. But I'm just using Zoom for an example. We have no excuses to worship God is what I'm trying to say. Amen. So I ask myself, how much am I like the Israelites? Amen. Because God redeems us and provides for us. But guess what? We can become abstinent when life continues to be difficult. And we're going, like I said, we're going to go to the book of Deuteronomy. Amen. We're going to discuss a few things in there, because God is saying, in effect, yes, the journey can be promised I have made for you. Listen to me. Did you get a boat out of that? Did you get a jolt out of that? Whoo! Did you get it? Listen, God is saying, yes, the journey can be difficult, but the promises I made for you are sure. I will bring you home into what? The land flowing with milk and honey. Oh, I know you don't believe me. Let's go to the book of Exodus real quick. The book of Exodus. I love that part. He done made a promise to me, even in the midst of all this. Even in the midst of COVID-19. Even in the midst of coronas, whatever it's called. God says, he'll bring me home. It ain't always going to be like this. Amen. Hallelujah. We just got to continue to praise him. And that's what's happening. The worship isn't there because without the worship, we're not connecting. We got to get back to the connecting to the Father. Amen. Chapter 3, verse 7 through 8. I'm just going to read that. Amen. And the Lord said, I have surely seen the affliction of my people, which are in Egypt, and have heard their cry. By reason of their taskmasters, he know who's beating us down. He know where the bondage is coming from. He knows. He said, for I know their sorrows, and I am come down to deliver. Take this one personal. Yeah, I have come down to deliver them out of the land of Egyptian, and to bring them up out of that land unto a good land and a large land. Listen, into a large land flowing with milk and honey, unto the place of the Canaanites and the Hittites and the Ammonites and the Perizzites and the Hivites and the Jebusites. Listen, he said a large land. He didn't say an efficiency. He said a large land. You got land. You got property. Listen, oh, God, hallelujah. God is good. I just want to try to this flowing honey, this phrase flowing with milk and honey. It's like a metaphor. Let's get to the metaphor of everything good and desirable. Woo! Milk and honey. So everything is good and everything is desirable. That's your milk and honey. Now, don't be trying to tell my Lord, I need 50 million. No, no. You can't even balance 1,700. No, no. Let's not try to just listen. Let's line up with God's will for our life and watch how the milk and honey continues to flow on a daily basis. See, it won't stop. It'll just continue to flow. He said, I'm giving you a large amount of land. Okay. I know, leave that one alone, right? Because, good God Almighty, thank you, Jesus. Flowing, everything, good and desirable. And guess what? We, too, are given a choice about whether or not we will trust God. That's the point right there. We got a choice. You can't get mad at somebody else being blessed. You can't get mad at somebody else being prosperous. You can't get mad if God is making them look good and they're losing weight and they're praising God and they always joyous, even in the midst of COVID-19. Every time you see them, they're prospering some kind. How they prospering in the house? They sitting there, they doing this. Because they're lined up with God and they're talking and fellowshipping and worshiping God. Even in the midst of their sorrows, even in the dark place, even as they go to whatever desert or whatever trials and tribulations we had to go through, we still go through it worshiping God because he's the one going to bring us through. I can't bring myself through nothing by myself. Amen? We got to remember that we will trust God. And when our journey includes suffering and the days are hard, we can continue to believe that God will lead us to where? To the promised land, a fellowship with him in heaven. So even when it's over, he's preparing you right now. So when your expiration date comes, it's just like, I'm, I know where I'm headed. I've just been walking this walk all my life. I've been worshiping and praising God all my life. I know my journey. I know my journey is heaven. I know my journey is heaven sitting on the right hand of the Lord. I know I'm going to be worshiping and praising God the rest of my days. I know it because I am in fellowship with him. I am in tune with him. I have been worshiping him. We have been talking. He's been showing me. He has been telling me. And when my time comes, it won't even bother me. But we got to get through the little things first. Amen. Because when we fellowship with one another, it's going to let us know. When we're going to fellowship. When we get to the point where we fellowship with God so much, amen, we're going to fellowship with him in heaven too. Amen. I'm just really wrapping this in my own mind. Amen. Because they may be days when we feel like giving up and placing our trust in someone or something else. Well, we got to remember that God always demonstrates his love and keeps his promises just as he did for the Israelites. They wasn't no better than us. You know, they suffered a lot, probably a lot worse than us. But we got to get to the point where we have that understanding that God, he has us in the midst of everything. We just can't forget about God. And a lot of times that's what we end up doing. Amen. We end up forgetting about God. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. I'm going to go to a song, and I want us to just marinate on how we miss the Lord. I want us to marinate on getting closer. How do I get closer to you, God? I fell off. Lord, what do I need to do to get back? Lord, I miss you. Lord, I need you. Oh, I hail you, Father God. What do I need to do? What do I need to do? We need to get back into worship. Amen.
Even from my very existence, I knew I was created to be a worshiper. As a child growing up in the church, I may not have knew the plan of God for my life, but I definitely knew that I was purposed. So now as you begin to listen to my musical diary, it is my prayer that you would begin to discern the heart that I have for God. And in discerning the heart that I have for God, get a clear understanding of what you were placed here for as well. Listen.
My life is a testimony. My heart is an open vessel. My will is a bird that yields to your will. My walk is the way you lead. My talk is the words you feed. My praise is the sweetest sound to your ear. Hallelujah, 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 we worship you, we worship you today. I live 'cause you have allowed, I give 'cause you show me how. I'm here to testify unto you. There's no place I'd rather be. There's no other God for me. There's no other name I give all the praise. So we sing it.
Hallelujah.
Lift those hands and say,
hallelujah.
Come on and give. Yes, we do.
We worship.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Oh, my.
Hallelujah.
Lift your hands and sing.
Hallelujah.
We worship you.
We worship.
Yes, we do.
We worship.
Continue our lesson, amen. And we're talking about worshiping God and trusting God and knowing and believing that God is real and God is our source and how special we are to Him, the part that we play, amen, because God has given us some rules and some directions and some things that He would want us to do. So, and I'm just going to use this to, as a new beginning for us, amen. Because life isn't about commandments, it's about loving, amen. And we're going to, if I go to the book of Deuteronomy real quick, I'm going to go to, you don't have to go, I'm just going to one scripture, I'm just going to read chapter 6, verse 5. It says, "And thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thine heart and with all thy soul, with all thy might," amen. "These words which I command thee this day shall be in thine heart." That should be embedded in our heart. Amen. Hallelujah. Glory to God. I know it probably don't sound like that, so this is what we're going to do. Just stay with me. You ain't got to move. I'm going to go there. I'm going to go to the book of Proverbs. Amen. I'm going to give you the scripture. Chapter 1, verse 7 says what? "The fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge, but fools despise wisdom and instructions. My son, hear the instructions of thy father, and forsake not the law of thy mother." Amen. Wisdom. He has given us wisdom. Listen, it says the fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge. So we got to get back to fearing God, because a lot of us taking chances. A lot of us playing spiritual Russian roulette. A lot of us think that we can keep on going, and ain't nothing going to happen. First day you talk about that retributive mind a lot of times, and that's if you sit back and picture people walking around with talking to themselves and don't know where they're at and don't know what's going. That's I hope I'm saying it right. Retributive mind. Amen. We got to be careful. God is telling us, like He's instructing us, we got to be careful. Amen. We can't fall into a trap of reducing our Christian life just to follow a different set of rules that the world have. Amen? Because if we do, we're going to miss out on having a relationship with the living God. That's just the way it is. If we start following the rules of the world, we start following other rules, we're going to miss out on our relationship with God. Amen? Hallelujah. Glory to God. That's I just believe that. Amen. If I'm wrong, God, you forgive me. Amen. Glory to God. Hallelujah. I'm over in Exodus chapter 20 right now. And if I know it's high, I mean, I can read it. I mean, if you have your Bibles, amen, you want to follow just to make sure, you know, follow suit, make sure I'm reading the right stuff and I ain't telling you the scripture and it's something else. Amen. Glory to God. Hallelujah. But this is the commandments that God has given us. Amen. God spake all these words saying what? I am the Lord thy God, which have brought thee out of the land of Egypt, out of the house of bondage. Thou shalt have no other God before me. Nothing, money, wife, husband, children, cars, jobs, companies, buildings, nothing before God. Thou shalt not make unto thee any graven images or any likeness of anything that is in heaven above or that is in the earth beneath or that is in the waters under the earth. Thou shalt not bow down thyself to them nor serve them. For I, the Lord thy God, am a jealous God. Now, some of you people, can you imagine Almighty, powerful, Almighty God saying he's jealous? Just think of how your jealous boyfriend or your jealous girlfriend reacts and what that drives you crazy. Can you imagine making God jealous? Can you imagine putting somebody or something else before God and he has told you that he is a jealous God and he has all the power to drain your resources, to take your mind, to gird your tongue, to make you sick? He has power to do whatever he wants. To me, that is a get right statement, not a can't get right, but a get right statement. That is God's telling. Listen here, you can keep on whacking that car and forget about me if you want. You can keep on laying up with your wife and don't pray. You can keep on following your husband and don't read. Keep it up. Because when we start taking God out and putting anything before the Lord, that becomes our God. Amen. Hallelujah. Whew. God said, listen here, I'm a jealous God, visiting the iniquity of the fathers upon the children unto the third and fourth generations of them that hate me. Ain't that something? Hallelujah. Hallelujah. And showing mercy unto thousands of them that love me and keep my commandments. Thou shalt not take the name of the Lord thy God in vain. That's instructions. For the Lord will not hold him guiltless that taketh his name in vain. Those are instructions. Remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. That's an instruction. 6 days shalt thou labor and do all thy work. But the seventh day is the Sabbath of the Lord thy God. In it thou shalt not do any work. Thou, and I was, that one got me because I used to be greedy. I'd jump, give me the overtime. I go on Sunday. I go on Saturday. I go Saturday, Sunday, Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday. Give me double. Listen, the more I learned that, the more I read that scripture, nobody can ask me to work on the seventh day. I don't care what you're paying. I don't care how much overtime. Because the Bible tells me that I shall not work. I shall not do any work. Thou, nor thy son, nor thy daughter, thy manservant, nor maidservant, nor thy cattle. The cattle shouldn't even be pulling a plow. It should be somewhere mooing. Amen? Nor thy stranger that is within thy gates. So even if you have a guest or a visitor, they shouldn't be doing the work. For in 6 days the Lord made heaven and earth, the sea, and all that in them is the rested, the seventh, all that in them is, and rested the seventh day. Wherefore the Lord blessed the Sabbath day and hallowed it. Now, I'm working with First Lady on this because I'm trying to, she knows this Sabbath. She into that. And I'm trying to make sure I'm on the right page on it. I ain't trying to, you know, if there's a wisdom out there and I don't know the truth, or I think I'm doing it right, and she comes and honey, it's like this. This is the Sabbath. This is what you're doing. I take heed because that's what the words say. It ain't that. Listen, I'm the husband. I don't tell you. Don't tell me. I tell you. No, wisdom, wisdom. The Bible just told about wisdom. Knowledge is the first thing. Got to have that knowledge. Amen. Honor thy father and thy mother. All y'all think y'all too grown because you done got some height. You got your little girlfriend, got your little boyfriend, got your little job, whatever. Listen, I don't care what your mama did. I don't care what your daddy did. The Bible says you still honor them. And thy mother and thy father, that thy days may be what? Long upon the land which the Lord thy God giveth thee. So whatever God has given you, whatever he has put you at, if you want your life to be long, you still have to honor your mother and father. I don't care what they did. I don't care what they didn't do. I don't care what they didn't give you. I don't care what they did give you. The Bible says, as a Christian man and woman, or someone believing in Christ, someone coming new into Christ, this is information for you too. If you're coming in and you're knowing Christ and you're just getting to know Christ, don't let that one slip away. Don't let your tongue start telling your mother what you, I ain't going to do this, I ain't going to, no, don't let nobody fool you. Get the word for yourself, put it in your spirit, get that word. Amen? Amen. Oh, God, thank you, Jesus. Honor thy mother and father, so all the days will be long. Thou shalt not kill. Thou shalt not commit adultery. Thou shalt not steal. Thou shalt not bear false witness against thy neighbor. Thou shalt not convert thy neighbor's house. Thou shalt not convert thy neighbor's wife, nor his manservant, nor his maidservant, nor his oxen, or ass, nor anything that is thy neighbor's. And all the people saw the thundering and the lightning and the noise of the trumpet and the mountain smoking. And when the people saw it, they removed and stood afar off. And they said unto Moses, speak thou with us, and we will hear. But let not God speak with us, lest we die. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Too many people. Because these Ten Commandments are the Bible. Even some Christians believe that all of God's word is summing up in these few rules and regulations. Some Christians believe that, amen. Some people who focus in this way on these commandments tend to think that this is only thousands of years ago and God determined what things we must enjoy, then made up rules to stop us from having fun. You think God made this up? He gave us this to stop us from doing the things that we was doing that were against him, that was against what we supposed to believe and against his commandments. He gave us this to keep us straight. He gave us this to show us the right way to live, to show us how we supposed to be living. Amen. Can you imagine what life would be like if we just followed the first four commandments carefully, then the last six, and then we skipped over some, then asking for each, what would my life be like if someone violated all six of these in relating to me? The Bible isn't about rules and restrictions. It is about living the highest possible quality of life. Because we have to be careful about reducing God's revelation to these Ten Commandments, because there's more. Read through these few verses one more time and notice God concerns for your protection and my protection and our growth. Would you have a better life by violating or by keeping these commandments? Would we have a better society if we all kept or if we all ignored these commands? That's something to think about. If we keep them, do we have a better society? If we break them, what kind of society are we going to have? Do that tell us about ourselves? Amen. God has given us so much information, and not only information, but he's given us stuff to keep us close to him, that we have no excuses to mess up. I'm going to attempt to read something and work with me. But I think it's needed. I think we should hear it. I do some searching around, and I find information that I think would be good for ministry, and I read it myself more than one time, and I go to God and I say, Lord, well, is it informative to your people about your word? Not about my word, not about what I want to say to them, but is this information informative to the people? Saved, unsaved, new, beginners, seasoned saints, the new saint, whoever. Amen. So just bear with me and just grab what you can grab. If you can grab anything, grab it. Because every country, every city, every school has to have laws. Every game must have rules. God, the creator of all things, set forth his laws in a book, which is called the Bible. So man would not be in doubt as to his rules. More than that, he sent his only begotten son to this earth to be the living sacrifice, to be the living word, confirming that which had been written. Amen? Now, the Bible is a literary and mathematical miracle. Its 66 books were written by men from every level of political and social life, from fishermen and shepherds to priests, physicians, and kings. None of them knew their writings were to be part of a combined work, but yet every part fits perfectly with every other part. Every Hebrew and Greek letter, that's the languages the Bible was written in, stands for a number. The numeric value of a word would be the sum of its letters. Every passage in the Bible teems with a numeric design and features, demonstrating its inspiration with the certainty of a proposition in geometry. No other piece of literature anywhere in the world is known to contain such amazing numerical constructions. In addition to this, the Bible reveals that God associated different numbers with different doctrines and things. Sin has a number, as does redemption, resurrection, judgment, etc., etc., etc. From the beginning to the end, these numbers remain the same. An example is 7, completeness, 7 days in a week, 7 years of plenty, 7 years of famine, 7 times around Jericho, wash in Jordan 7 times. It is absolutely impossible that some 40 men over a period of 1,600 years could have planned these 2 categories of numeric patterns, design upon design, interlocking the entire book into one continuous harmonious scheme. There need be no other proof that the whole Bible has but one author, and that is God himself. Amen. And if you go to 2 Peter 1:21, for the prophecy came not in old time by the will of man, but holy men of God spake as they were moved by the Holy Ghost. Woo! See, you can't play with that, talking about you're a prophet or a prophet, and you not, because they're moved by the Holy Ghost. They could be somewhere cooking, and the Holy Ghost could, whoa, they had to drop the pot, go somewhere, tell whoever God said it is, taking what God say, because a lot of times they had to say stuff that might offend. They might have to say stuff to bring a completion. They had to go to another church, stand up, And the man or woman of God is going to acknowledge them, because they already know who they is before they say anything. It's that spiritual connection. When they walk in the door, they're going to be sitting in the whole service. But before the service is over, a real man or woman of God is going to say to that apostle or that prophet, excuse me, do you have anything for the church? And if it's of God, they're going to come up. It's going to line up with the will of God. It's going to line up with that church. It's going to line up right then and there. Ain't nothing they made up. And we got to be careful of giving out false prophecy, telling people God said, God said, God said, and God ain't said. We can mess up people's lives. If you're called to be a prophet, you know that. You ain't got to tell nobody if you're called to be a prophet, you know that. Just be on your assignment and do as God say do. This marvelous book has stood the test of time. Archaeologists, scientists, accuracy, and fulfilled prophecy. Cities and empires have faded away, but the Bible remains indestructible despite its many enemies and critics. Its pages have pointed the way for millions through the ages to find forgiveness, peace, joy, and the way to heaven. Is it any wonder the devil has tried in every convincible way to discredit it from reading it, believing and obeying it? Forever, O Lord, thy word is settled in heaven. That tells you the enemy tries to discredit the Bible. It tries to twist the words around and tries to get you to think it's like this. And what he's really saying is this. Oh, hallelujah. Heaven and earth shall pass away, but my words shall not pass away. Oh, I got scripture. I just need a few. I just want to give you about three scriptures. Luke 4:4, Jesus answered, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word of God. Look, he loves us. He loves us. Hebrews 4:12, for the word of God is quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the dividing asunder of soul and spirit and of the joints and marrow and intent of the heart. Joshua 1:8, this book of the law shall not depart out of thy mouth, but thou shalt meditate therein day and night, that thou mayest observe to do according to all that is written therein. For then thou shalt make thine way prosperous, and then thou shalt have good success. Woo! Come on now. Come on now. Who gonna hand you a blueprint of success like that? And you just came out. You was a thief. You're a liar, murderer, all these dope fiends, prostitutes, whatever you was, whatever your thing was. Bring you a blueprint. Listen here. You take this. Learn this. Because when you learn this, you're learning me. Get to know this, and you'll get to know me. Then spend some time with me. I'm going to tell you what this means. Then you start worshiping me, and I'm going to show you what the worship is doing, because now we're bonding. You're showing me you love me the way I say I love you. Now you're praising me every time you wake up, because you're starting to see the change. We don't see a change because we ain't doing nothing to change. If nothing changes, nothing changes. How I expect to be prosperous and glorious and mighty and strong in the Lord and strong in the spiritual warfare. If I ain't doing nothing, I'm not feeding my spirit. How is my spirit going to be strong? I'm not getting the right ammunition. I'm not getting what I'm supposed to have. I'm doing what I want to do the way I think I want to do it. John 15:7 says, if you abide in me and my words abide in you, ye shall ask what ye will, and it shall be what? Done unto you. Come on, y'all. Get that Bible back out. Dust it off. I don't care if it's a little one, a big one, a double barrel, a single barrel, Old Testament, New Testament. Start somewhere. Get back into that word. Let that word come to life inside your spirit, inside your mind, inside your heart. Meditate on it day and night. Get it, y'all. Get it, y'all. Get it, get it. Get it, get it. Because when we get it, we get Jesus. Jesus. We're trying to get closer to God. We're trying to get empowered by God. We're trying to give our lives to Christ completely. We're trying to show God that we're worthy of him sending his son so we can live and have everlasting life with the Father. You ain't going to lack. You're going to be the lender, not the borrower. You're going to be mighty, spirit and truth. Your words will heal, deliver, power in your hands. You can make the devil flee with words of power. Whew. I'm just going to read one more, and then I'm going to let you go. Amen. Isaiah 55:11 says, so shall my word be that goeth forth out of my mouth, it shall not return to me void, but it shall accomplish that which I please, and it shall prosper in the things whereto I sent it. Come on. God tell you to go somewhere, say this word to somebody, give them a word. Listen, the word is going to prosper because God sent it. We got to take it to where God say go. That's why we got to spend time to get instructions. We got to get back into that place. Oh, there's nothing like worship. There's nothing like freeing yourself with worship. When you can free yourself, be honest and naked before the Lord and say, Lord, here I be. Take everything out of me. Dig down to the abyss of my mind and my body and my soul and take out that rotten thing that's trying to hide up in there. And I can't seem to shake it on my own, but I know you can get it. We got to give it up. We got to give it up. We're trying to be mighty. When God opened these doors from this dock, when God opened these doors, we should be mighty. There should be a revelation of people in the middle of the streets praying and rejoicing. Oh, we should have the biggest revival that there's ever been. Because if we're doing what we're supposed to do when them doors open, the spirit wants to be free. The spirit wants to shout out to God so everybody can know God saved me. He kept me. He delivered me. He fed me. He kept me. He protected me. He provided for me. He loved me. And for all those who don't know God and didn't get a chance to experience that, that's where the revival comes in. Healing and delivering. That's where the revival come in. Oh, the Holy Ghost will shake a nation. Whew. Glory to his name. Father, I hope you are well pleased on this evening. I thank you for your information. I thank you for your wisdom. I thank you for your trusting in me. I thank you for bringing me out of my dark place and into your light place. And I'm continuously seeking you, Father, because I know there's work to be done. So, Father, work on me. Have your way in my life. Do what you must do. Do what you please to do with me. I am yours. I surrender. Father, I ask you to just bless those who are in the midst of just wanting to give up, those that might be a little confused on the day, God. Bring them back, God. Remind them that you're still God. Remind them that you're still powerful and mighty, and you still love them, and you're still joyous, and you still got them. Break every curse, God. Break every curse, God. Every trick that the enemy may be trying to use, we rebuke it right now in the name of Jesus. Clear the minds of your people, God. Clear the minds of your people. Remind us on the daily that you are God all by yourself. Remind us of how you was there when we needed you in the past, and you are there now. Remind us of your word that you will never leave us nor forsake us. Remind us, God, that you gave your only begotten son. I know you didn't give your son for nothing. Break those generational curses, God, whatever they may be. Whatever they may be, God. Oh, I trust and believe, God. I trust and believe that everything will be all right. I trust and believe, God. I trust and believe. I trust and believe, God. We love you. We praise you, God. Oh, God, I need you. Father God, please help us. Help us down here, God. Don't let us fail you. Don't let us fall short. Don't let us give up, God. Don't let us give up. Search me, God, and know my heart. Try me and know my thoughts. And see if there be any wicked way in me, and lead me in the way of everlasting. I know that thou canst do everything, and that no thought can be withheld from thee. Create in me a clean heart, Father,
and renew a right spirit in me. Let the words of my mouth and the meditations of my heart be acceptable in the sight of you, O God. Let it be acceptable to you, God. Let it be acceptable to you, O Lord, my strength and my redeemer. I've said these things and prayed them in Jesus' name, and I thank you. In Jesus' name I pray. We're going to end this with a song on this evening. I hope and pray that the Lord is well pleased, and I hope someone got something out of this. I just pray that we do not forget about our Father, that we do not forget about God, that we get back to a place of worship, praising Him, obeying His commandments. Listen, He don't have to remind us. All we got to do is think when He showed up. All we got to do is think when we was at our lowest, how He showed up, how He sent a ram in a bush. Let's just worship Him, and we thank Him. If you need prayer, you could call First Lady at 302-883-9799. These are all available in email. If you want to talk to a man, if you want to fellowship, you want to pray, you want to cry, you want to shout, you want to talk, you can call me directly, 718-419-4863. Glory to God. We will answer you. I promise you. We will answer you. We will fellowship with you. We will pray with you. We will talk with you. Please, don't think you have to do this on your own. Don't think that you're by yourself. If you don't know the Lord as your Lord and Savior, all you have to do is call us. We'll read the prayer of salvation with you. We'll lead you to Christ. Right even now, all you have to do is trust and believe in your heart that God is real, that Jesus died and rose on the third day with all power in His hand. All you have to do is confess that with your tongue and believe in your heart. He went to hell and beat the devil up for the keys of our soul and then ascended to heaven to sit on the right hand of the Father. Confess it with your mouth and believe it in your heart. It's just that simple. You have to mean it, and then we have to start living it. And we won't allow you to live it by yourself. We will do all we can do to help you. Amen. So with that being said, we're going to give you a song and have a blessed night, and God bless.
Come on, worship the King. Come on, worship the King.
Oh,
Jesus.